Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship and fellowship at Wesley Memorial. A special welcome to any visitors, and an extra special welcome to anybody who's joining us on Zoom. Hello. Lovely to have you. After the service, there will be tea and coffee, as usual, and soft drinks in the hall through that door on my left. Tomorrow morning, if you're a very early riser, you will be able to have bacon sandwiches at Wesley Memorial from 6:20? 6:20. And if you want to come and help with the washing up, Mary, is that be welcome too? Okay. We're very pleased to welcome David Harper as our preacher this morning for two very good reasons. One, he is a preacher in our circuit and a member of Woodstock Church. And the other, he's a very faithful helper at Rainbow House on a Friday. So he is my favourite today. And it's very good, David, to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Kate, for the very nice warm welcome. And thank you all for coming this morning on this lovely sunny day. The last time I was here as a preacher, it's quite a long time back, and all your building work wasn't done then, and it's fantastic to see it now. I see it on a Friday when I come in for Rainbow House, and even this week, three people said to me in Rainbow House, what a wonderful room it is. So I think you've done really well as a church to develop it in the way that you have. But it's lovely to see you all this morning. We're going to start with a short prayer. Here we are, Lord, your people, your church. We are here by grace alone, not on the basis of anything that we've done, and we come with nothing to prove. So we can relax into meeting together in your presence. And in that grace, we welcome each other and we welcome you. Make yourself known to us in new ways through our worship, our prayers, and our understanding of your word today. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. We're going to sing our first hymn now. It will be on the screens, but if you're following in a hymn book, it's Singing the Faith, number 354. Jesus is the name we honour.
Oh,
In a moment, we're going to have some prayers, but before that, we're going to have a video. So this has been prepared, and we're going to watch it now. It's about the activities in the church here.
Hello, it is me again, with a quick update on where we're at with Everyone an Evangelist. It is fantastic that so many people joined the small groups doing the Faith Pictures course. There were lots of good opportunities for discussion and sharing. It was really appreciated by lots of people. Hopefully, many of us feel closer to being able to speak about our faith, even if it is out of our comfort zone. The second gathering we had on the 26th of March was a chance to take stock, to think about what we need to sustain our own faith, and to start to think ahead to some practical evangelism opportunities. The idea is that we choose a few things that the church already does, or something new if we want to, in the next few months, and we try being more intentional about sharing our faith through those things, in ways that feel appropriate to Wesley Men. And remember, we are aiming for natural and inclusive and not weird. So the ideas with the most energy around them are May Morning, Open Church, Art Weeks, and the Joseph Musical. If you would like to be involved in any of those things and thinking about intentional evangelism through them, then please do let Jo in the office know and she can link you up. And then one other idea that would tie in really nicely with what we did in the small groups. We'd like to try filming or recording mini faith stories for the church website. So this would be individuals saying, for example, why you go to church, or what faith means to you, or why you like Wesley Men, or how you picture your faith. This is a project that we could start in the next few months and then continue over time. It is a good challenge to each of us to encapsulate something about our faith in under a minute, to actually say it out loud. And if we can build these up on our website, they could be a great invitation for other people to think about faith. So watch this space. Basically, that's where things are up to. We're going to take stock again in the third Everyone an Evangelist gathering, which is on Sunday, the 4th of June. But one final question from me to you. What opportunities have you got to be a little bit bolder about your faith? Hopefully, we are all on the lookout for these, even in small ways. So once again, this is me channeling the mission group and God. Let's keep challenging ourselves to find good ways to do this. Goodbye.
And before I knew that video was going to come on, in my preparation, there's a tiny bit of the sermon that ties in with what Jenny's just been saying. So you'll have to listen out for that very carefully in the sermon. We're now going to pray together. Let's pray. It's going to be our prayers of adoration and our prayers of forgiveness, or in simpler words, our prayers of how wonderful we think God is and how we say sorry to God. Let's pray together. We come before you to offer you our praise and worship. Our words are limited, our concept of you quite inadequate. Our understanding is just a tiny fraction of all there is to understand. And yet we come. We come in faith and humility, offering the best words that we can, seeking to appreciate and worship you in all that you are, all that you have created, all the love that you are, and all the love that you send forth to us. So thank you, God, for all things around us, but also for the breath in our lungs, the dreams in our hearts, the energy that courses our veins. Help us, God, to love you, to worship you, and appreciate you in all parts of our lives. But we also say sorry for the moments when we step away from your love. Sorry for things said and not said. for things done and not done. We say sorry and gladly accept your loving forgiveness and accept the joy that comes from restoration to wholeness. Thank you for your blessings, much more than we can ever ask for, on all that we are and hope to be. Amen. In every service, I prepare what I, in my mind, I call a children's address. But some of our churches in the circuit now haven't got one. But I'm delighted to see there are so many children here. So I prepared something that's going to involve you as the congregation and hopefully involve the children who maybe, shall I go over there to gather with them? Is that the best place? Or can they come here? Yeah. Would any young children like to come to the front and help me, please? And then the congregation will have to be alert as well. So a couple of days a week, I help in the Whitney Community Fridge, and we have a lot of people coming along there. Maybe 150 people come along to get food. We gather food from the supermarkets and then we give it away for free. And then not this week, but last week, a man came along who looked a little bit odd to me, and he had a very loud voice. He had a long robe thing on, and he had a stick in his hand, and he came up to me and said, "Do you know why I'm here?" I said, "No, not really. So he said, "Well, can you guess?" And then he had in his hand, he had some of these bits of wood in his hand, sort of odd-shaped bits of wood in his hand. So he said, "Can you guess now?" I said, "No, not really." And then he said, he showed it to me. He showed me on the other side. "But can you guess what he was doing, first of all, before I show you the other side of the piece of wood? What do you think he might be doing, or what was he dressed up as, do you think? What do you think?" Brilliant, brilliant. I was told that the children here are really bright, and already they are demonstrating this. So a shepherd, he was a shepherd. But it was in the middle of Whitney. There were no sheep to be found, but he gave me this little sheep here, and on the other side of it, it says, John 10, 11 to 14, "I am the good shepherd." And that will be the theme of our service this morning. But the reason he was doing it is because he'd done an essay on the topic, and he was trying to live it out, a bit of your living evangelism that you're talking about in your video. So that was him trying to do that. So, bearing in mind this is our theme for today, I've prepared a 6-question quiz, and you're going to help me at the front, and you're going to have it beamed up on the screen via Frank or Temba. Hopefully one of them will bring it up. So here are the questions. You can talk amongst yourselves if you want to. Some of these questions are quite difficult. But because they're quite difficult, the children at the front here can get some clues. I'm going to sit down here, and I'll need a microphone as well in due course, which is here. So, the first question on the screen is, what is the average life of a sheep? Anybody know? What do you think?
I think it's like 30 to 40.
30 to 40? Any other guesses? Yeah, what do you think?
50 to 60.
Okay. Now, if I show you this here, which of those would you guess it might be?
Probably 11 years.
11 years.
11 years, okay. What did you think in the congregation? What was your answer? What's the life expectancy of a sheep? Anywhere near 11? Technical question here. Depends what it's being used for, indeed. Okay, next question. How many sheep are there in the world? We'll have one or two guesses and then I'll give you some clues as to what that might be. You start thinking of your answer as well. Any guess how many sheep in the whole world?
Million.
A million.
Probably over 100, but...
Probably over 100, yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Infinity.
Infinity, that's a very big number, isn't it? Yeah. Anywhere something slightly less than infinity?
2 billion.
2 billion. Oh, that's a really good question, a good answer. Here are your 3 options now. So which of these do you think you want to choose?
I think the last one.
Okay, which is? The last one is 1,250 million. So it's 1.25 billion. That's the answer. And it'll come up on the screen. So that's the answer. So some good guesses from the children here. Okay. The next question, I think all the adults are going to answer with one particular answer, and I think it's going to be wrong. But let's just wait and see. So which country in the world has got the most sheep? Any guesses from the front here?
I don't know if I think I...
Go on in, have a go.
I've read this in a book, but I don't know if I've forgotten or not.
Okay, all right. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Italy.
Pardon?
Yeah, I was going to
guess. Italy, okay, that's quite a good answer. Anyone else? Okay, I'll give you my 3 possibilities. These are my 3 possibilities now.
I don't know.
I think the adults are looking at this hint as well.
Ireland.
Oh. If it wasn't, we have the right answer at the back here. The answer is China, surprisingly. And I'm suspecting that some of you will be saying New Zealand, but it's not, it's China. So there we go. Okay then, next question. How many faces can a sheep recognize?
Five.
Okay. Ten. Minus two. Very, very dim sheep, that's good, yeah.
1.6,
that's a very technical answer. Okay, here are your possibilities this time. What do you think?
I will do
five.
I was right.
Are you?
This is the
question. What does the congregation think? Any suspicions from the congregation?
50.
The answer is 50. 50. That's a big surprise, isn't it? Well done. What's your first name?
Ezra.
Well done, Ezra. You're doing really well. You've got two in a row now. Now, this is a technical question for the congregation mainly, so I'll give you the answer straight away. How many times does the word shepherd appear in the New Testament? Here are your three choices here. You can be thinking. You don't have to look at this white sheet. You can be thinking.
I think it's 29.
Middle one. 29. Consensus at the front here. We all think 29. 29 is the answer. 29. So that's quite interesting. Now, the last question, this is impossible for the young children. So, here's a chance for the congregation to offer two answers here. First of all, the name of the clone sheep. A clone sheep is where they've copied some genes, but some of you might even know this. But any offers for the name of the sheep? Dolly. And any offers for the year of the sheep? This happened.
1998.
We've got offers here at the front. Yes. Voila. 93, that's pretty close, Esther, thank you. Yes, so it's the actual answer is 1996. 1996. So we will hear more about sheep and shepherds in our service, and I'm guessing that you will in your younger church activities as well. So thank you for coming and giving some answers. You did really, really well. And I think now what do we do next? We sing next. Do the children stay for the singing of the second song, that anthem? Yeah, okay. So now we're going to have the anthem from the choir. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you, that was beautiful. I noticed on the front of the books there, it's got the Oxford New Easy Anthem book. That sounded really difficult to me, and I've asked Frank and Temba to switch me off for singing, so it shows how difficult that would have been for me. But thank you so much for singing. Thank you. We're now going to just say a short prayer as the children leave us to go to their separate activities. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for every single member of this congregation, from the very youngest to the very oldest, for those here in person and those on screen and those who can't make either of those things. Thank you, Lord, for all of the people here who give so freely of their time, including the young church leaders, stewards and finance people and so on, so many roles. Please bless all the children as they go out to their separate activities and bless those who lead them this morning. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. We're going to follow the lectionary readings for this morning. The first reading is going to be Psalm 23, which hardly needs any introduction at all, and John is going to read it to us. Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The second reading is going to come from John chapter 10 in a moment. And by way of introduction, one thing that I'm really interested in is football. And a couple of weeks ago, we went to see our son in Manchester, and his present to me at Christmas time was to go and visit the National Football Museum. So I was very excited. So we went up to see that, and there were lots of things from way, way past. But in some ways, I think of the gospel writers as something to do with football as well. And you were thinking, no, he's stretching a point here. This analogy is not going to work. But I do think that in some ways. And I think that the different views that the gospel writers express are a little bit like being in a football stadium. So Matthew would be at the home end of the stadium trying to relate the gospel to the Jewish people. I think Mark would be at the away end of the statement, shortened to the point and moving on quickly. But Luke would be on the halfway line, trying to be inclusive, trying to include women and Gentiles and all sorts of people that weren't naturally included. But then John's gospel, he would be right up in the top stands. There's one person up there, right up in the top stands, looking down, having this big view of Jesus and God. And he starts with fantastic words. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God with God, and the Word was God. And then through the gospel reading, what he does, he presents images and things for us to understand with seven I am phrases. And Frank and Temba, we're going to bring those up on screen now, together with seven signs as well. So here we have the seven I ams. I am the bread of life. And I'll just leave you for a moment to read those things through, those phrases through. And so in this morning's reading, we're going to have the third one down, John chapter 10, verse 7. So now Shelby's going to come and read that for us. Thank you, Shelby.
John chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Thank you. And now a moment to do quiet, just to reflect on the readings that we've had this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for your readings and the many ways that they speak to us. Amen. In a whole host of situations, whatever we're doing, we meet people at a sports club or a coffee morning or in your job. And one of the very first questions that comes up when you meet a stranger for the first time is, what is your job? Or what is your former job? What was your former job? And it happens so often. So if someone says that they were a professor or an HR specialist or a pediatrician, people start to view them through a particular lens because of what they've said. On the other hand, if they say that they are a cleaner or a dishwasher or a maintenance officer, again, people start to view them through a particular kind of lens. Now, I worked closely with all of those people that I've just described there, and I've observed firsthand how some of those people have been treated, positively or negatively. And it's something that we just do through human nature. But now I've just taken early retirement 3 or 4 years ago, and suddenly my situation is very different. Now I'm often with people without paid roles. They're in retirement, they're active grandparents, or caring for elderly parents. Some are volunteers in charity shops or other organizations. And I think one of the things that COVID taught us for those couple of years is that all people, whatever their role, whatever their status, all people are really important and valuable in very different ways. Work, or our lack of it sometimes, is a very complex topic, and not something that we hear about very much in church. John Pritchard, who was the former Bishop of Oxford a little while back, says that 50% of church people have never heard a sermon about work. It's not going to be the main theme of this morning's service sermon either, but I'm going to try and weave it in from time to time, just something about that, into the gospel passage that we'll be considering. Now, some people, when they're working, will really love their jobs. Some people really hate their jobs, and most people will probably be somewhere in between those two extremes. And So by way of an illustration, I'd like to give you this example. There are three men working on a building site, all carrying out the same role. And each one of those men is asked in turn, "What are you doing?" The first man replies, "I'm just carrying bricks. It's really hard work." The second man replies, "I'm in the building trade. I earn a decent wage, and I have a job. I'm pleased to have a job." The third man replies, "I am building a beautiful cathedral to the glory of God, and I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to be involved." So our attitude to work frames our answers and gives responses of these types. All three people are doing the same job. Now, this illustration appears in a book, this book here. And this is a really, really, really good book, I have to say, and it's going to be out in June. And I wonder if you can guess who the author is. So yes, literally in June, this book is going to come out. It's called An A to Z of Mindfulness for Christians. And in the first chapter, which is called Attitude, this is my example that I've used. It wasn't original for me, but I've used that example in this book. And I'm hoping that at the end of June, when it comes out, that some of you might be tempted to buy this book. And it goes through in all kinds of ways how mindfulness might be beneficial and important for us as Christians. So I'll be very happy to talk to anybody about that after the service. One thing we're sure about to do with shepherding is that it's not an easy job. It's a difficult job. So what I want to do for a moment is just move back 2,000 years in time and move southeast from here, 2,300 miles. And what we then discover is shepherding. And for people in that time, shepherding can often be associated with kingship. But Jesus came as the only shepherd, only true shepherd, really. But he came as a sacrificial shepherd as well. King and good shepherd of all nations and all time. And Jesus presents brilliant illustrations to the people around him. Pictures of sheep and doors, gatekeepers and thieves, good shepherds, bad shepherds. Basic visual images which would be very well understood by people of that time. But what about now, here in Oxford, all these years later? It's quite hard for us because these very familiar passages are often the most difficult ones to get something new from or to understand in a new way. And if you read the commentaries or if you go to other services, what often you will hear is things like this. Shepherding was different then. Shepherds knew their sheep by name and character. The sheep listened to the voice of the shepherd. Sheep were not herded with dogs, but led by the shepherd, and the sheep were following. Shepherds then protected their sheep by laying across the sheepfold. And sheep were used mainly for wool and not meat, and therefore the shepherd would get used to the sheep and maybe have a relationship with them for about 10 years. So these are the kinds of things that I've heard in services, and all of those things still remain true. And we could probably synthesize those into two themes. Firstly, that the shepherd has a very strong and caring relationship with the sheep. And secondly, that shepherding was very costly. And Jesus tells us that in his particular case, the sacrificial cost would result in Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So the sacrifice of the shepherd then was for those people then and for us now. At the very start of the reading that Shelby gave to us this morning, it says this, "I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth." And that's not because at other times Jesus was not telling the truth, but I think he introduces that phrase when it's a really important phrase or a really important concept that he's trying to get across to the people there. So if Jesus thought this was really important, then so should we. So I thought it might be helpful just to say a few words about sheep, first of all, and then a few words about the door or the gate that we heard in the passage as well. So firstly, sheep. Sheep are vulnerable. Sometimes they get stuck in fences. Sometimes they fall into ponds, get bitten by insects, get cold and hot, feel lonely, maybe even starve at times. And each sheep has its own characteristics. And then we think of ourselves as humans. We are sometimes vulnerable. We get stuck. We fall into hazards. Sometimes our mental or our physical well-being hits a low. We have good days and we have bad days. And we too have our own unique characteristics. and situations. Calling the sheep by name is important. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd and their own name. And names are important to us as human beings as well. Shakespeare says, "He who steals my name, it doesn't make them rich, but it makes me poor indeed." And in Proverbs 22, we read, "A good name is more desirable than great riches." We all respond slightly differently when people use our name. It creates a kind of relationship. I often try to ask people their first name. So even as I came in this morning, James was on the door, and it's important. Frank and Timber were on the AV. It's quite important to try and establish a relationship with people. And three times this week, I was very conscious of this, three times this week, people did the same to me. And I was pleased that they did that. They asked me my name, and I thought that was really lovely. And if we think back to the story in the garden at Easter, Jesus uses the name Mary. And then, suddenly, everything is different. She realizes it's Jesus and not the gardener, as she had thought. And Jesus responds by saying, "Mary, you be the messenger. Mary, you be the person to go and tell others." So interesting that the first person chosen was not a man, but a woman. A person with difficult issues and not a priest. A member of the support team and not one of the leaders. That, I think, says something about Jesus and is very helpful for us here and now, who are not leaders, not priests, and maybe perhaps part of the support team. So we have a good and a wonderful shepherd, a friend and a saviour who knows us each one of us by name. I don't know how, but I'm very confident that it's true. Even more than that, God knows how many hairs we have on our head. Amazing, amazing. Even in our very ordinary lives, Jesus knows about us and God knows about us. I want to turn to the Old Testament for a moment. David the shepherd was chosen by God. And we know much about David because so much is written. It's interesting because David is seemingly the insignificant youngest one of the family. Samuel comes to the house of Jesse seeking someone special. And David's father presents all his sons. But forgets David, the youngest one, only a shepherd, just a layperson, no good for being someone useful. But indeed, David is someone useful and special in God's eyes. Not because of armor and swords, but because of the resources given to David, some stones and a sling at the vital time. So maybe today, you are feeling an insignificant person with few skills. No amazing job or no amazing former job that you've done. But it may be, metaphorically speaking, that you have a few stones and a sling which can make a real difference. You may also be the person who can see a real difference that someone else could make with their stones and their sling. And maybe you can give some encouragement to them to use their resources. The Benedictine, Joan Chittister, suggests that we are called to live the ordinary life extraordinarily well. And if we're not faithful and spiritual where we are, and as we are, then we're not faithful or spiritual at all. This morning I read, just before coming out, I was rereading this book here, which is called Messy Spirituality by Mike Iaconelli. It's quite an old book, it's probably about 20 years old. But just this morning, something captured me, and I thought it was quite relevant to this sermon here. So in the chapter that I was looking at, he draws a graph and he says, maybe there's an expectation that your spiritual life, your religious life, your spiritual life might be something like that, where you're starting here and just always on the way up, always getting better and better. But he suggests it's not like that for most of us. Most of us, it's more like this, he puts in his book, much more like this, very up and down, good days, bad days, and so on. And he suggests that maybe some of these things where we come down aren't maybe failure, but are times of listening and waiting and trying to understand and learning and growing and pausing. And in that same chapter, he gives an example of a person called Dr. Monroe in New York. And Dr. Monroe was an English teacher, and she had a very gifted child in her class. And in the final year of the class, the boy seemed to just go really downhill, didn't seem to be paying attention, didn't seem to be doing anything right, and eventually he failed his exams at the end of the year. And this was a great disappointment to Dr. Munro. And then about 10 years later, the boy and Dr. Munro intersected on a street in New York. And the boy went up to her and said, perhaps you might just remember who I am. And she says, well, of course I do. You were a very gifted student, and I was so disappointed at the very end of your course that it didn't go very well. And he said, I was doing the very best that I could. I was giving 100%. But at that time, my father had just gone to prison, my mother was a prostitute, my brother started selling drugs, and it was incredibly difficult for me. So I was giving 100% then. But now, I am so blessed by what you did for me all those years ago, because now I'm an assistant editor of Time magazine. And I thought, what a wonderful story, what a wonderful story. So at times in our lives, we can be seemingly giving everything that we can, but from a very low base because of what's going on in our lives as well. So I just want to speak for a few moments about the door as well, which is mentioned in our passage this morning, the door of the gate that Jesus describes. It's a wonderful picture painted by Jesus, a sort of parable. And what can we say about a door? In a very obvious way, we can say that it's got two sides, an inside and an outside. And in the illustration by Jesus, the inside is the sheepfold, which means safety, security, protection. Outside is the open country, which might mean danger, lack of protection, or lack of security. And it's the same for us. Most of us have got a front door to a home. Some of us may not have that, but most of us got a front door to a home. And inside that, perhaps, and for most of us, this is not everybody, there is security. But outside, there might be danger and unpredictability. But I think Jesus is trying to say something a little bit more in this passage about the door. On a bigger scale, on a more spiritual scale, Jesus, the door, the I am. I think on the one side of the door is a man on earth, God incarnate. And on the other side, Creator God in heaven. And through that door, the love of God comes down to the human race. And through that door, the love of the human race goes up to God. It says in the text that the hearers didn't fully comprehend the pictorial language that Jesus was using. Is it any wonder? It was deep and mysterious, transformative and life-changing. So I just finished by saying what an uplifting message that Jesus offers to us. We are special. We are known to God. We are unique individuals. We are called by name. We are loved and called by name to use our metaphorical stones and sling as small resources for good. Called by name to encourage others to do the same. And above everything, we have Jesus, the extraordinary Good Shepherd, with us and for us. Amen. And now a pause and then we'll sing our next song. And now we're going to sing again from Sing in the Faith 666, Master Speak, Thy Servant Heareth. We're now going to have our prayers of intercession. And for this prayer of intercession, I'd like to invite you to use both your hearts and minds, but also maybe your hands as well. Before any of you start worrying, we're not going to be waving them in the air and no one else is going to see them. They're simply going to be on your lap in slightly different positions. So I've sat here so that you can see me if you're slightly confused, but it's very straightforward what we're going to do. And this prayer is really based on, a meditation that I've been involved with from the Wesley Men Meditation Group. So I'm very grateful to them for doing this, and I think it's a very helpful prayer way of doing things, because I've done it in a couple of churches already and had favourable comments afterwards. I'm hoping that for you it will also be helpful this morning. So I invite you now to close your eyes in readiness for prayer. So the first stage of the prayer really is just putting your hands face upwards, palms upwards, on your knees in front of you. That's simply that. This is a gesture to God that you're open to God as to what God might have to say to you about you this morning. The second stage of the prayer invites you to bring your hands together to make a cup shape on your lap in front of you, a real cup shape. And then into that cup shape, just imagine and bring to mind places of concern and to you. Places like the Sudan, perhaps the politicians and the local elections, perhaps the homeless and the poor, perhaps your friends and your relatives. So just bring people into that cup shape on your lap in front of you. The third stage of the prayer invites you to make a fist with one hand and wrap around that hand with your other hand and lay that on your lap as well. And this is really to represent one or two specific people that you want to enfold with love. It might be a parent, a friend, someone here in church. And in the silence, be open to ideas of prayer or maybe practical action that you might take for that person or people during this coming week. And the fourth stage of the prayer is to interlink your fingers in the traditional way of praying, and in humility, offer all your prayers to God. Lord, we ask that you receive these spoken and unspoken prayers on behalf of the needs of the world, those around us, and ourselves. And we end this time of prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer together in the modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. There's just a slight change to the order of service. Can we go back to a hymn that I missed out earlier on, which is the Lord's My Shepherd, number 481. I'm so sorry. I realise that I missed out a hymn, but it's a lovely, lovely hymn to end with, so we're going to have it instead of what would have been our final hymn. Thankfully, the AV people are already prepared, and Sarah will be prepared in a second. Thank you, Sarah. We'll just wait a moment until she's ready. Okay? Okay, we're going to sing together now the final hymn, which is 481 in the hymn books, if you're using the hymn book, The Lord's My Shepherd. Just finish by saying the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah.